Now, I'm joined in the studio by a musical guest today. I was sent some of his stuff a couple of weeks ago by his record company. He's absolutely fantastic. His name is Melvin Ashong. He's performed all over Europe with his band and as a solo artist, and he's always gigging around London as well. We've been playing Melvin's current single, Poem, on Phoenix FM, and he's here to talk about his debut album, Abajay. But is it out right now, or is
it's
it coming?
It's out now, yeah. It's been out for a few months now, so you can get it. You can download it on all the digital stores.
You're from London, so whereabouts in London are you from?
Notting Hill Gate.
Oh, that's a bit posh around there, isn't it?
It is now. A few years back, it was quite a, you know, it's quite a, you know, bit of a rough place, but it's changed over the last, you know, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
To the point now where it's, you know, it's very, very nice. If you got the money, that is. If you got the right amount of money, it's quite nice. But if you haven't got the money, it's a nice place to walk around. Portobello Market is great. Saturday and Sundays, it's a lovely place.
That's a very good Irish accent.
Well, I'm partly Irish, you see. As you know. It's my grandmother.
Yeah.
She's Irish. She was Irish. Mm. And my mum's half Irish. And my grandmother married a Ghanaian chap from Ghana. And they married in London. My mum and my uncle were the children.
And whereabouts in Ireland?
Dublin.
Oh, Dublin. Yeah.
Dublin.
No, Dublin. Well, lived there for a good few years.
Yeah, okay. Did you know?
Yeah.
All right.
Walked across the bridge, you know Thin Lizzy, obviously.
Thin Lizzy. What a bang. Isn't they brilliant?
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, great, great voice, great singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Brilliant, a real rock band, but very, very songsmithed as well. Unique sound, had their own style, yeah, their totally own style, Yeah, a lot of good acts come from Ireland. Van Morrison, another one.
Definitely.
There's quite a lot. Now there's me.
And now there's you.
There's me and my album.
When did you first get into music? Is there anybody in the family that's musical?
Well,
is it just
Michelle,
you?
Yeah, my grandmother played violin when she was, you know, when she was alive over here. And I think I got a lot of my musical inspiration from that, genetically, down the line. And then hearing good music on the radio and the TV over the years and thinking, well, that sounds great. And for some reason, I'm receptive to it. Like, a lot of artists are receptive to good music and they regurgitate it. They feel it and then they do their thing with it. Yeah, so that's my vibe. My mum got me a guitar years ago, one of those little plastic toy ones, and I liked it. She must have known that I was the musician in the family. So I tampered around with that and tinkered around with that, but I didn't actually learn anything on it. I just had the memory of, like, it's a nice guitar. And then a guy down the road, down where we was living, he made a guitar for me for some strange reason. And I thought, wow, that's great, you know. So then I picked that up and I started playing around with it. But I didn't get any lessons at all, purely self-taught. I went to one lesson once and the guy says, oh, Melvin, you want to play guitar and all that, but your hands are quite large to get the bar chords and all this stuff, and your rhythm is not that, you've got a strange sense of rhythm. I said, right, okay, great stuff, not a problem, bye. And I taught myself in the end. Taught myself to sing, write my own lyrics and do my own thing, totally.
But it's all very well people go and get their music degrees, good luck to them. But sometimes when you do that, you get into like a set formula, whereas I think sometimes when you're freer, and Paul McCartney doesn't, he just plays, doesn't he?
Yeah,
so it's the same thing, you just play and you flow because a chord goes into that chord and it's what you feel.
Yeah, it leaves that channel open. Without you can get quite controlled by lessons and all the rest of it, but not knowing what you're doing and where you're going with your chord work or your vocal melody, that's where it comes from. And we've only got to look at history to see that all the best music popular music has come from that position. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned McCartney, he doesn't write music. Michael Jackson didn't write music. All the greats. Marvin Gaye,
Love Marvin Gaye.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All those guys, And right up until today, when I listen to, I love Snoop Dogg. Brilliant, brilliant voice. Brilliant rapping. And I know that he doesn't write music, but the stuff he produces is brilliant. It was always just good music, Michelle. I really just like good music. Whatever I heard, whether it is Deep Purple, the Beatles, the Killers, right up to, today. There's some good bands around today. But my main influences, I must say, would be Tamla Motown, the Beatles, stuff like that. Old, that really, like, mature stuff back in the day, which is still resonating today. People are still, digging it and learning from it.
Mm.
James Brown, it's hip-hop, isn't it? All day long, yeah. So, yeah, that's my main influences. Good stuff around today as well, which I like.
Now, we're going to talk more about the album. You're going to do a live number for us now from the debut album.
I am.
So tell us about you.
I
hope so. You've got guitar there. Tell us about the track you're going to play and what it's about.
This song is called Planets, and it's about... I was watching TV ages ago, and there was a programme about planets and how they disappear and, you know, they move off. And it's a bit like love sometimes. It can come, then it goes away. So it's a romantic song, and it's about people separating, and all it involves, you know, you've got to go back to the house, or you've got to go back to the flat, pick up your toothpick, pick up your Rolls Royce, you can have the chair, I'll have the table, you have the fork, I'll have the knife, bye-bye, and all that.
Yeah,
so that's a bit like that, really.
Excellent. So we've got live music. Here is Melvin Ashong with a track from the debut album, Abba J, and this is called Planets.
Sunlight came early one morning, just as it did today. Sometimes she looks in the mirror, see how her body had changed. Outside, the day was beginning, where memories often fade. But your name I'll always remember, just as I did today. Some days we all look back, some days it's all we have, some days we all look back. And planets do the same, planets do the same. And planets do the same.
Now, I bet you get, at the end of a gig, you get people joining in with that one. That is
they
one...
Do.
Yeah.
They all start singing. La, la, la,
la. Yeah.
And they get the lighters out.
When you're sitting down to write a song, do you actually get the lyrics come first, or you get the chords, or does it just depend on...
The
what
idea
do.
For me.
Yeah.
I get an idea of what I want to say or what I want to portray in the song. So whether it's a political song or a love song, I have to get the idea. Like Planets was all about separation. So in my head, I'm like thinking, right, I want to write a song about separation, how we separate and what it involves and all those emotions. And so it's an idea. Once I get the idea, then the melody comes. I have to choose the melody around the idea, and the ideas are filled with words. So, oh, this idea about that, boom. Then the melody around that starts, and then I start to create the lyrics. Chords. I don't know many chords, you know, so I have to really, I do struggle with chords. Mm. But the first thing I do is just get the idea.
Yeah.
Once you get an idea, it's like, off you go.
Do you write your best stuff when you're happy or when you're sad?
When I'm skint.
That inspires you to write more.
Happy or sad? No, when I'm happy.
Mm.
Yeah, I've got my best songs, my best writing is when I'm happy.
Yeah,
definitely about that. And there's two or three songs that I haven't recorded yet, but they are really, really good songs. Definitely.
Mm.
I mean, when you're down, yes, you can get some. It's equal. It's like they don't work without each other. You've got to have that downside to be inspired to change something within yourself or with the world around you. Or when you are happy, you get inspired to, you know, to lift up people around you.
Mm.
So, yeah, a bit of both. But I think when I'm, you know, shut off a few bob, it does help.
What is the best lyric that you've ever written that you went, wow? That's a good lyric.
Oh, yeah.
And what song is it from?
It is from, I think it's Abba J so far. And it's Life is a Four-Letter Word. So far, I mean, there may be stuff coming down the pipeline in, you know, months or years to come, but I like the word. It's a very, yeah, life is a four-letter word. That's my best lyric. I like that.
Do you do music, purely music, or do you have to sort of support the music by doing other stuff as well?
Just music. Yeah. Just play, yeah.
And how tough is it? But I don't think people sometimes understand. I always do the plumber analogy. People have heard me say it before.
Yeah.
You don't ask a plumber to come to your house
exactly,
and fix your pipes
yeah.
for nothing.
I know, yeah. It's true, isn't it, Michelle? You know, people think, oh, you play music and, oh, that's music and, you know, you do it for nothing and you entertain us and all that. But no, it's a real living. You know, you've got to get from A to B. Even on the way down here, I got a cab down here and I was speaking to the cabbie. And he said, oh, my son's doing music. I go, well, that's good. I said, well, as long as he loves it, if he wants to do music, he's really got to love it.
Yeah.
Because when it doesn't start to pay you or really the road becomes really, really rocky, the only thing that will pull him through will be the love for his music, you know, and that is the thing. It's quite easy to think, oh, I'll do music and da-da-da, it's quite easy. But it's hard because, as you say, you know, it's a plumber analogy. They think, oh, just a musician, you know. Oh, you can do this, you can do that for nothing. You can just turn up somewhere and just play, you know. The whole industry, they just think that musicians will just turn up and just do it, you know. It's supply and demand as well, especially today. There's so many people doing it. They know that. People will say, well, look, if you don't want to do the gig, you know, I'll get somebody to do the gig for a cheaper price or whatever it is. So it's supply and demand as well. It's a tough business.
Yeah, it's very tough.
But you've got to love it.
You've got loads of, because you work in London and London is really the hub for music. Have you found lots of, because of the closures of pubs, has it got sort of more concentrated?
It's very concentrated. You know, you've really got to have a whole strategy to get gigs. It's not just like, oh, I'll just phone up and get a gig. There's so many people gigging, there's so many people here from all over the world as well. You know, it's like it's just like your plumber, you know. If you want a plumber, you can, you know, there's a choice and there's loads of them. And that applies for lighting technicians, engineers and musicians. It's all very, very busy. So going to get gigs, you've got to really organise it. You've got to make, you know, a long thing in advance. You've really got to organise it. You're weeks and months in advance to get a few gigs. So it's busy, it's packed. But it's possible, you know, you can still do it.
Now, are you going out and gigging this album? Are you doing it with, or you have got a band as well, so...
Yeah, I've got a band that I call upon, you know, when it's needed. We're a four-piece, but mainly I do a lot of solo work because it's quite easier and it's enjoyable. But when, you know, when the venues ask for the full band, then we all turn up and do our ting and just make a noise, make a racket.
Now, the album Abajay, which is out at the moment, tell us about the title.
Abajay. Well, I came home one evening from a gig and put on the TV, and it was a programme about, you know, problems around the world and all that, and they were showing Africa.
Yeah.
And they were showing part of the Rwandan crisis, which was a few years back, and there was British soldiers on duty, and they came to this village, which had been, you know, burnt down and all the rest of it. And just outside the village, there was this mass grave with all these dead bodies and stuff. And one of the soldiers, one of these two British officers, they heard this baby crying. They heard somebody crying. So they've gone and they've, you know, they've rummaged around and they found that they've moved all these dead bodies. And they found this tiny little boy, about 4 or 5 years old. And he's still alive, you know, battered and bruised, but he was still alive.
Yeah.
And they held him up to the camera. And they've said, look, we found this little boy and he's alive, but he's, we don't know his name. He hasn't got a name. So I said, right, I'm going to call that boy Abajay. Mm. So I called him Abajay and I wrote the song around him.
Mm.
And it's about having positive things can happen. Had those guys not come along, that little boy obviously would have died.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the universe or whatever, he was saved.
Mm.
Life is a four-letter word, as I was saying earlier on. So, yeah, that's where the name comes from, Abajay.
Have you ever tried to get in contact or sort of send the song, or did you...
The plan is, I'm slowly making... finding out what the clip was and what channel it was and blah, 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 to try and track him down, yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, it'd be great, yeah. It'd be great to do that, to find him, you know, and give him a leg up and help him out and see what he's doing, you know.
Yeah.
And he'll say... Okay then, Melvin, you're using my name. I think I'm entitled for a few royalties here. Backdated as well.
That'd be nice. A few royalties. That's what every musician dreams of. Get the royalties in. Now you're going to do another song from the Abajay album. So tell us about the next track.
This song is Love. This is a positive song. It's being in love.
And it's called Love.
It's called L-O-V-E.
Joining in there with a little harmony, I was trying not to sing too loud, and also my foot.
I was trying not to
because my foot. See, when I got really good musicians in, I do this with my foot, and then when I play the recording, but I was, what's that noise?
Who's banging the floor there?
I'm doing that. Do you play drums as well?
Percussion.
I thought drums. You did, because you can tell by your guitar playing, because it is so in time. It's like dunk, right on the beat.
The rhythm.
It is. You can tell. Do you ever play that on? Do you ever do a bit of percussion on gigs as well?
No, I do a bit on recording. A few things on the album that I've done a bit of percussion on.
Yeah.
But pardon me. But drums, no, it's really that coordination to get the hi-hat, snare, foot drum going on. But I like playing percussion.
Yeah.
I really like playing percussion. My rhythm work is very percussive.
Mm.
And so with the bass player and the drummer, they just sit right behind me and just play along.
Yeah.
So it makes their job very, very easy.
Now, you've worked with some fantastic producers on the album. So tell us about the guys you've been working with.
Ah, Stuart. Oh, brilliant, fantastic, producer. Worked with quite a few people. Worked with Robbie Williams, he's worked with Zeppelin and people like that. So, you know, Stuart Epps, great guy. Mad as a hatter, so we got on really, really well. Yeah, great.
And also Glenn as well.
Yeah, Glenn, great producer. He's still doing some really good stuff, and we're all in contact, still working away on different projects, you know, with a couple of things we've got in the pipeline that we'll be working together on. Great producer, yeah, done some great stuff. Does a lot of TV work now as well, Glenn does, yeah. But yeah. Producer's job is to really draw out the best from the song, from the artist, and if possible, you know, improve it, you know, really improve it. And a lot of cases it works, you know. A few cases it's very, very hard for the producer to get into the mind of the artist to make sure, you know, they both have the right understanding. And that's one of the things that is, that can go astray. Yeah, that's their job. Producers, really good producers can bring out make you even better as an artist, you know.
And whereabouts did you record it? Whereabouts was it?
That was in Pinner. We've done a lot of recording in Pinner and Berkshire as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did it actually take you to put the album together? These songs that you've had for a few years that you've got.
Yeah, Michelle. Yeah, I had those. Half the album is must be about 6 or 7 months old, and then the other half, I'd say about a year or so.
Mm.
Yeah. So, in all the tracks all packed together, about 2 years, I'd say.
Yeah. And are you constantly still write? You still keep writing all the time?
Yeah, I just haven't got enough places to record.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like that. You know, if I, you know, the resources to carry on recording, I'll be knocking them out now, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of queuing up and finding and waiting to get some recording space. Also the finance, what it costs to get recording done today, you know. Yeah. It's not cheap. You know, once this album starts to go out there a bit more, I'll be doing some more recordings. Loads of material. Material's not the problem. It's just getting it recorded.
Yeah.
I love writing material every day. It's so easy to come up with ideas, you know. For me, I just love it. It's just a case of getting stuff down. Stuff is ready to rock and roll.
Better say hello to Harriet, by the way.
Harriet, you're absolute brilliant job. I'm down here with Michelle and her lovely assistant.
Amy. 16.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Doing a brilliant job down here. Yes, Harriet, you're doing a great job. We all say hello.
Hello, Harry.
On the radio.
She always rings. She rings me from time to time. I'm like, who's that number? I put her in my phone now so I know, because I don't pick up. I don't feel like me. If I see a number I don't recognise, for some reason, I just won't pick up the phone in case it's a sales call.
It got blank.
That's it, yeah.
You do a blank, Michelle, didn't you?
She's in there now. Yeah. Now, you're going to be performing at the Victoria and Albert Museum on August the 4th.
That's right.
As part of their Black African Heritage Programme.
Yes. Yeah, so get down there, and you don't have to be black, and you don't have to be in history. You just got to get down there and enjoy good music. Mm. Yes, by all means, on the 4th, about 8 o'clock, get down there. Cromwell Road, if I'm not mistaken, central London, so get yourselves down there. It's all to do with Black History Month as well.
Yep.
There's other people planned, quite a few, you know, good artists as well. Mm. But, yeah, I'll be playing down there, looking forward to that. It's a lovely place as well, Victoria and Albert Museum. It's beautiful walking around there, you know. Got some lovely stuff, you know, pictures of everybody,
yep,
including us free here in the studio.
Hey, obviously,
yeah, we'll be there. We'll be down there stuck on the wall somewhere. And there we are.
And where else can you sit? Because you, as you said, you play in London. Is there anywhere specifically that you play quite a bit that people can catch you otherwise?
Tokyo.
See, Harry, I hope you're listening. You pay for those tickets.
Yes, right, yes. Tokyo, Balmoral.
Are you going to be touring this? Are you going to be touring?
We've got something. Yeah, the company have got, the label are working out a tour for me.
Yeah.
As we speak.
And is it going to be for sort of UK and Europe?
UK and Europe.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we're going to go further afield. It'd be the States, America,
yeah.
Tokyo, you know, where is it? Texas or? Yeah, I think it's Texas.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'll be moving around. Yeah. You know.